All right, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode 338, Podfest Week.
Yep. Pre-Podfest episode.
Sure. This is the one.
This is the lead up.
this is the barely have time to record this one.
Right. This one won't be over an hour.
No, it won't. It's gonna be fucking quick.
Thank you guys so much. Bye.
That's our guest. Great movie talk.
Yeah. Well done. We'll have you back. Mm-hmm.
So let's introduce our guest. First-time guest. We've had so many first-time guests.
It's been great. And also of another movie podcast the other side of the world.
New York City is another part of the world. It doesn't exist. So far that he needed a driver and a handler because he doesn't understand driving or traffic.
No. There's no subways. I'm terrified.
The sun is out every day.
I know. And there's brightness and people are nice. People are tan.
It's weird.
It's disturbing.
In shape.
Yeah.
Steven, how do you pronounce your last name?
Sadak.
Steven Sadak.
From We Hate Movies.
From We Hate Movies.
On the Sideshow Network.
On the Sideshow Network, yes.
How long have you guys been doing that show?
We've been doing a little over 6 years, which is strange because we just talk about shitty movies for an hour and a half and people want to listen to that.
So you guys talk about just one movie an episode?
Yes, we really dig into one shitty movie in excruciating detail, minute by minute. We're not a minute by minute podcast, which that's the new thing.
That's a genre, minute by minute podcast.
Oh, God. Wherein you're going to just look at a minute of I haven't listened to any, but I'm just curious, do you just is it five episodes on the credits? Is that kind of the thing?
That's a lot.
Yeah. We've been doing pretty well with just shitty movies, and we just did an episode on Anaconda, which is the big
Des Dons. He points to his scar, John Voight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a he just basically took Tony Montana and just kind of aired that out for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is John Voight a good actor?
Midnight Cowboy was a good movie.
Yes.
And then he's good as Nick Cage's dad in National Treasure.
Yeah. He's in Ray Donovan, which your uncle will tell you to watch.
He has his moments.
Yeah.
He has his moments.
Yeah.
Anaconda. I was actually, interesting story about Anaconda. I was in Brazil in the Amazon.
Oh, wow.
I was at this Amazon jungle hotel. Mm-hmm. Where it was sort of their base camp for Anaconda, and so there was all these all this Anaconda memorabilia.
Oh, in the hotel.
In the hotel, because
it's going to be a tourist destination. Right. Yeah. Now.
It's in the you have to take a boat to get to this hotel.
It's a Planet Hollywood for Anaconda specifically.
And literally, we were sitting outside eating, and monkeys came up and started taking our food, and we had to go inside.
Wow.
I took a skiff that had a leak in it on the Amazon River. It was this man and a boy, and the boy's job was to scoop out leaking water.
So you were lucky you survived.
It's one of the dumber things I've done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up there.
But he had a job and he did it well and you survived.
And we made it to and from.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and you got pictures of the Anaconda Museum at the hotel.
Yeah, that's...
So guys, what I'm saying is the next time you're in the, you're an hour outside of Manaus, Brazil, go to the Amazon. Anaconda Museum.
All you Anaconda heads out there, I'll be at Anaconda Con this year.
I'm dressing up as John Voight for Anaconda Con.
I'm going to be Danny Trejo right before he kills himself in that movie. That's my...
Anaconda Con. I'm rushing hashtag Anaconda Con. Well, that's cool. And of course, you guys are doing the preview night, the LA Podfest preview night this Thursday at the Hollywood Improv.
Yeah, not just one show.
We're doing two shows.
Your first show sold out.
Yeah, that's exciting. I don't know why people want to watch fat people talk about movies, but they do. We're doing the first show on Suburban Commando. Everybody's a classic film.
Suburban Commando.
A classic American film from the year of 1990-something. And then we're doing Batman and Robin, which nipples all over the place. And,
So do you show clips in the live shows?
We do the trailer, and then we just kind of we just riff, man.
Right.
But since it's the preview night, we're going to be spending a lot of time just set up the PodFest and tell people what a podcast is, how they work, XLR cables, a lot of stuff about Zunes. It's going to be really informative.
And when is it on?
We're on...
You're asking what an event that we help plan is out?
Yeah, we had an 8 o'clock show, Suburban Commando, which is sold out, and then we're doing, there are tickets still available to Batman and Robin, which is a 10.
Which is also true when the movie came out.
Joel Schumacher is hustling tickets.
Yeah.
He's still trying to sell tickets for that because that's the last time they let him direct a movie. Yeah.
My favorite
Thank
quote
God.
Was he was felt so sorry about directing that movie. He goes, you know, I owe the fans a real Batman film. And someone commented underneath, the only thing Joel Schumacher owes the fans is to stay as far away from the franchise as possible.
More movies.
Yeah.
Stay away from making movies.
Yeah, it's like somebody... Like,
you know, you should be like a docent at the Anaconda Museum.
Yes.
That's what he should do.
Yeah, I would like to see an Anaconda sequel. Get some nipples on that snake. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely.
More snake butt than ever,
More leathery bat snake butt.
Yeah.
We can figure out a way to put it in.
John Voight's available.
Yeah. John Voight is very available.
So if you are a badge holder for the LA Podfest and you're in town a day early, you can, the 8 o'clock show you cannot get into, but you can go to the 10 o'clock show. And there's also two other shows at the Lab, which Sean Merrick, they are.
One is John Gabris's show, High and Mighty. John Gabris is hilarious. And the other one is...
Please advise with Molly McGallier.
McAleer.
Every time you've said it, you've said a different name.
With Molly McGillicuddy.
Sean Merrick is in the garage here. Sean Merrick is here. So.
All right. Molly.
Molly. Molly's got a podcast.
Yeah, and it's an advice show, is the idea? That's very
cool.
Don't
need to say her last name. It's assumed she's Irish. Her name's Molly. Okay.
I heard McGillicuddy at least once.
Romanian Mollies out there. If there is, we'd love to meet you.
Hashtag Romanian Molly.
Hashtag Romanian Molly. I'm gonna perform a Romanian Molly when we're at the Cluj Festival in October.
Oh, those are delicious. Romanian Molly. Man, that'll get you fucked
you
up.
You can't undercook it though.
No. Oh no,
you
no, no.
You can't undercook it. It just gets too spongy. Sean Merrick, how do people, if they're a badge holder, get tickets, free tickets to the show? What's the best way to do this?
Should I talk?
I would love you to talk into a microphone.
Hollywood.improv.com. Go to the 9/22 date, and if you are a badge holder, you probably would have received a code in your email, which you can use to get free passes to these shows.
Great. So use that code, guys, and that's how you get free passes. So it's included in your 3-day pass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you haven't gotten a 3-day pass and you're living in LA and you want an extra night of shows, buy a 3-day pass at LA Podfest.
And you can buy it right at the Improv, too.
We will be selling. Mm-hmm. So two things will happen at the Improv. If you already have a pass, you can get your wristband for the weekend at the Hollywood Improv that Thursday. And if you can buy a 3-day pass for the LA Podfest, and you can go to see these shows. Like, you could see a cool show 8 o'clock in the Lab, and then you could see the 10 o'clock Bat Butt.
Or if you want to give me a lift, that'd be great.
Yeah, Steven doesn't know how to drive because he's from New York.
Yep.
And but he will take you on a tour of downtown Los Angeles.
Yes, which is where I'm staying, where there's a lot of anacondas down in downtown Los Angeles currently.
There's a great John Voight museum downtown.
Well, the other thing we want to mention too, let's say you're a fan of these guys, you can't make it to PodFest, you could actually also watch them on the stream and archive, because we will be recording the improv shows and you'll be able to see them on the archive.
So the improv shows you cannot watch live, but we are recording them, and then you can watch them after PodFest for 30 days. So all 40 shows at the festival and the four shows at the improv on the preview night will all be in the archive for the live stream. So for $25, and you can save $5 if you use coupon code
movies.
Boom. Yeah. Or CFN.
Whichever one you like better is what you should do.
We're having a movie podcast coupon code fight.
All I'm saying is I don't have a garage where I could record podcasts, so maybe you want to try movies so I can get a garage.
He doesn't have a car, folks. He's living like a grifter, like some sort of John Voight hobo.
She speak for you, huh? She speak for you?
Was that from Midnight Cowboy?
That was from Midnight Cowboy,
So, that's all the info. So you can watch the show if you can't be there Thursday, and all kind of ways to support podcasting and the improv.
All right, let's talk about some movies.
Let's get into it, you sons of bitches.
All right, Snowden. You finally saw Snowden. You were excited to see this movie.
I was excited to see this. You know,
you have your Snowden little sticker over your camera from laptop to make sure.
I'm going to take a picture of it right now just so you can see us recording the show and the Snowden sticker that I got at Comic-Con. Yes. They're handing out Band-Aids and said Snowden on it to cover up your camera on your laptop and cell phone. My cell phone could be recording this right now. The NSA, I don't think they give a shit about our opinions on movies.
Not unless Dean's on.
Not unless Dean's on. Then the NSA.
So Oliver Stone went to Comic-Con? Did that happen?
I think.
That's pretty exciting.
He was plugging it hard.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Oliver Stone's 24th movie. I'm amazed he's made 24 movies. Yes. And I think he's very...
Are they counting Conan the Barbarian in that?
Yeah, they're counting
they
all
have
of
to.
Them.
Yeah.
They're counting all of his movies. They're counting that...
Did they count the episode of Cheers he directed? No, that'd be...
So they're including everything. They're including JFK. They're including Any Given Sunday, which is the worst football movie I've ever seen. It is the dumbest. It's bad.
So how does Snowden fall into the works of Oliver Stone?
It's one of his better movies.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, he hasn't knocked it out of the park in a while. In my opinion, there's been a lot of movies that just like haven't been that great. I mean, there was World Trade Center, there was W, there was just like.
I walked out of W.
Yeah, you.
It's a Saturday Night Live sketch for like 99 minutes.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean. It's just, and that's what actually kind of kept me away from Snowden a little bit. And you can let me know if I'm wrong. Is there enough context on this issue to make this movie now? You know what I mean? That was the thing with W. Is like, oh, it was so of the moment. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have any historical hindsight on it. You know,
that's a great point. You know, he also did Savages. Let's not forget that great
film. Oh, my God, that movie sucked.
Yeah, he's made some horrible goddamn movies. And then in the 90s, he made some great stuff. I think this movie is a little better suited for his wheelhouse because he's working off of actual stuff. What was interesting to me about this movie is it went into the details of what Snowden did for the between 2004... and 2000 and when he in June of 13 is when he went public.
Right? Yeah.
So it really goes into all that. It shows him briefly trying to be an airborne ranger and he breaks his leg and he can't do it. And then it shows him, and that stuff's interesting, getting into the CIA, the tests he had to take, how good he was at that.
That's
and then
pretty neat.
All of the assignments he went on, you know, in Hawaii, in Japan, it's when he was like, man, and you see all of the shit that this government is like doing that's horrifying. And that the dramatization of that, of like the inner workings of some, you know, NSA, secret facility on Oahu or whatever is like, holy shit.
Now, does it get into like, you know, all these different intelligence agencies that we have, like NSA and CIA, did he like work for both at one time? Yeah. Or were they sharing information?
So
like-
he's an independent contractor.
Okay.
And he says that in the interview. When you worked for the CIA, well, I was an independent contractor. So that's part of it's deliberate off the books shadiness.
Yeah. Oh,
I
just
see.
Like,
okay.
It's, well, he's just a contractor. He worked web, you know, so they all have these fake jobs that they tell people.
So you're not accountable for anything. It's like, oh, that guy just, we found that guy in the street, you know, that kind of
exactly.
stuff. Yeah,
exactly. There's all that. There's all that plausible deniability that's interwoven in all this. So that's really intriguing. And they sort of cut back and forth between that and the day on the 13th in the Hong Kong hotel room, which is basically what Citizen 4, which I haven't watched all of because I just was getting too frustrated. But the Citizen 4 documentary is primarily in that hotel room.
Yes.
So you're seeing, and I think Oliver Stone kind of went, well, we know what that documentary said.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Snowden has revealed. Let's show how he got there.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, because that's why I stayed away. I was like, oh, you know, I've seen Citizen 4. I really love it. And it's really interesting. I'm like, I just don't want to see that dramatized. You know what I mean? But if it's all about the context around and getting him there. And
it also seems like a large part of the film was character driven. Like, yeah, you know,
who is Snowden?
Right.
Yeah. All we know is the guy.
And that, how did he change? Why did he change? Right. And what, you know, what caused him to change?
Well, you see, like, you meet his girlfriend, who's played by Shailene Woodley, she's a fine job. You know, she's protesting. They're walking through D.C. in like 06.
Yeah.
And she's protesting the war in Iraq, and she signs a petition, and he's like, why would you do that? You know, the liberal media. It's so funny because he's like, liberal media. And then the liberal media is the one that he went to.
Yeah.
You know, to bust his story. Mm. And so that was interesting to see his change. You know, she's this liberal girl.
Yeah.
And he, you know, they're having these debates as a couple would that have different political views. And while that's happening, then he's seeing what's awful, what's going on. And, you know, he starts getting worried, you know, and also how it's a strain on their relationship, but they don't spend a lot of time on that relationship. That would have been like, oh God, it's yeah. Snowden rom-com, Snowden
the meet cute.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like the way that Oliver Stone did it is it showed how that job influenced that relationship and how that relationship influenced him making a change. So that was intriguing. I mean, the only, So Oliver Stone couldn't get too out of control.
There's no rewind sound effects and no, like, it's pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. He
didn't shoot his own Zapruder footage?
No, he didn't shoot his own Zapruder footage. There's little glimpses where you're like, oh, hey, that's right, Oliver Stone directed this.
So does the movie, like Savages, does the movie end and then he rewinds it and is like, no, that's not really the end.
God damn it.
I forgot about Savages until you said it, and now my blood is boiling.
Yeah, it should. As well it should. And this movie is interesting, so it's... The trailer, the biggest problem I had with the trailer was hashtag JGL's
doing my Snowden voice. Or whatever. Where it sounds like he just got kicked in the balls, essentially.
Like some kind of weird, all right, now sound like you're scared, but also like you're a Muppet.
Yeah. So I don't want to give too much away, but there is some actual Snowden footage intercut in this.
Oh, neat.
Later in the film.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this ends.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's why Oliver Stone did it the right way. Mm. We know he's in Moscow.
Yeah,
we know they're trying to extradite him.
And we don't know what the end is yet.
Yeah, he's trying to cut a deal. We don't know what that is. So that's why he did all of the lead up to it.
Right.
What would make a guy want to do this? What would make a guy who was getting paid crazy money on Oahu? Mm-hmm. He had this awesome life in Hawaii and then went, I can't do this anymore. That was his last gig. You know, you see him in this house, and there's surfboards, and fucking Oahu. Right. You know what I mean? Jesus. That is an expensive place to live, unless you're getting crazy NSA, you know, hacker money.
Yeah, shadow team money.
Yeah, shadow team. There's no way that's under, like, there's no way he wasn't making at least mid-six figures
that's
on a gig
insane.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and to have the balls to say, no, this isn't right, and I'm going to give that up, you know.
Who
and
would give that
but
up?
I'm to living the surfboard.
But I'm
beautiful, sunny Moscow, which is nice.
Oh, God, you have to spend the rest of your life in fucking Moscow?
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, talking to people on robots like fucking Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. I wonder if he took that into consideration when he made that decision.
Eating Romanian mollies like three times a week, you know.
Which, fun once in a while.
Yeah, I know, for sure. Yeah. It gets heavy. But, it gets heavy.
Not everyone can make it good.
So it's really interesting. So I didn't have a problem. I forgot about the voice being annoying until Snowden came back later, and I was like, why did he do that goddamn voice?
Yeah.
But that's me nitpicking.
Right.
Honestly, hashtag JGL does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever your opinion of Snowden is, and granted, I'm a guy who thinks he did the right thing.
Yep.
I think WikiLeaks was too, they were haphazard, and they just released stuff, blah blah blah, and didn't care about consequences.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. He made an effort, in my opinion, to not release national security secrets, but you need to know this. That's my opinion. And there was a great article in the USA Today editorial section yesterday about that. Because now Washington Post is coming out saying Snowden needs to turn himself in. And they were like, fuck, Washington Post? He did half as he built, you know, he helped.
Right. Yeah,
he gave you a lot of stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. And he shows Oliver Stone, you know, showed clips from the Republican and Democratic debates from a couple months ago and what Bernie and Hillary and Trump all said about him. It's very interesting.
Wow.
So
yeah, he's on everyone's radar. Yeah.
He's on everyone's radar. And I think, you know, I'll hats off to Stone for making this because, mm-hmm. and it's what they say in the movie. It's what Snowden said. He goes, I don't have the information. He goes, the American people need to decide.
Yeah.
The American people need to have a discussion, have a debate about this and decide what they want to do about this.
Right.
And I'm stepping away from it. And it's kind of Oliver Stone going, yeah, the conversation. So mm-hmm.
it's pretty convenient actually that he hasn't been found because that's like actually a sentence to this guy would create a lot of debate. You know what I mean? Like yeah. he's very conveniently in Moscow now and out of our hair.
I wonder how hard we're trying to extradite him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. It's a lot easier. Like, oh that guy, you're just shaking your fist about him.
We can never get him now.
Right.
He's too far away.
We it's know like exactly he's in, where he is.
It's yeah. like he's in New York.
Yeah. It's too many apartment buildings yeah. no. in Moscow. Gosh. You'll never find him.
Mm-hmm. What with the pizza pies?
And, oh, God. Yeah. I mean, what is he doing? So I'm sure they know where he's at. And I think, and you know, who knows? You know, it's not the best about Obama.
Yeah.
Because you see him leading up to the election in 2008 going, maybe Obama will be different. And then Obama isn't. And then, you know. So it's up for this movie is about there's no final decision on this because it had like you said Chris it's not over
right
no yeah mm-hmm.
so but it's an interesting film I think it's worth seeing and well, it's a little long it's two yeah. hours and 15 right. minutes they could have cut 15-20 minutes out of it
sure
well as a good transition we'll go to the next film that is over Blair Witch
yeah that didn't tear up the box office this
it
week
it did not and I saw it and you saw it so mm-hmm. we'll let the guest go first Stephen go ahead what did you think of Blair Witch
I think it's
the
like,
quote sequel but really remake but really kind of same exact movie
kind of same movie with drones now speaking yes. of Snowden hello no mm-hmm. I don't know I think the last 40 minutes is effectively scary which maybe again, I'm from New York, so trees terrify me. So, just the idea that you might be somewhere without a Wi-Fi signal, without a subway. No, but
bodegas out there. No. Like, what do you do?
No delis.
Yeah. No coffee shops.
I don't know. Do you like the original, the Blair Witch Project? I do too.
I thought the first one did something really interesting. The other thing you got to remember about the first one, it was a product of its time.
Yes.
And it was also when found footage movies weren't really that prevalent. In fact, one of the marketing campaigns, it was a very viral marketing campaign of like, well, maybe this is real. Maybe it's scripted. And it's like, for new listeners that are kind of grown up with found footage movies, you're like, well, there's no way anyone would think that
yeah.
that's real. But at the time...
Oh, there's conversations. Like, friends of mine are like, oh, man, they killed that lady. And I'm like, no, they didn't.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, this marketing campaign, and this will never happen again, was literally VHS tapes passed around to watch this.
Yeah.
So
it was brilliant.
So you have to remember that this was a product of its time. But also, I remember too when this blew up at the box office, the first Blair Witch.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like it. They went to see what all the hype was about, and like, yeah. oh, you don't see anything. I'm getting sick. There's no action.
Yeah.
There's no gore. There's not. You know. And that's why when the sequel came out, Book of Shadows, it bankrupted artists because no one wanted to see it.
Yeah.
So I liked the first one. It creeped me out. It stayed with me for days, which is what a good horror movie should do.
Absolutely.
And it was all psychological. It wasn't what you saw. It was what you heard and what was put together and what you interpreted and from what was presented to you.
And it holds up pretty well. I actually watched it last year just kind of coincidentally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still... There's a lot of good improvisational acting. You know what I mean? It feels like you're really meeting people that are actual people that wind up dying. And like, there's like a lot of a good like regret and blame and like who lost the map, who didn't, all that right. kind of stuff is, it sticks with you. And that none of that is in this movie.
No,
unfortunately.
Not at all.
And everyone.
Now it's just magic. You're stuck here because the witch's magic is keeping you here like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
And, you know, now the drone doesn't work, the Wi-Fi doesn't work. You know, all the electronics are not going to work. But then we'll send the drone up. It crashes. So now all of you could do those things in a creative and interesting way. Like, you know, all of a sudden have magic disable all of the technology and get lost. But it was not done in a creative way. It was done a sloppy, ham-handed way. Like, we know, you knew every scene that was coming up in this movie.
Yes.
Mainly because you saw the first movie.
Yeah.
The only way you would have been surprised and scared by this movie is you had no idea what Blair Witch was and you didn't see the first movie.
That's very possible. Yeah. And it's... I think that the actual found footage device is a little less exciting, especially like with the drone, and they all have like Bluetooth cameras in their ears, which kind of makes it look like an episode of Peep Show. You know what I mean? Like everyone's just kind of talking to each other in the first person.
And it's so contrived too. Like when they have to like, well, how are we going to get a found footage camera here? Like one girl is, she's crawling through a tunnel. So she throws the camera in front of her so you could get that other angle. And then when she climbs, you get the camera. Then she throws it in front of her again so we could cut back and forth. I'm like, what are you doing?
And why are you filming? Put the camera down. Yeah. Like, you're being haunted by a witch.
It's the thing we've talked about so many times on this show about found footage. It's such a contrived...
Yes.
No one... We got to film everything. No, you wouldn't. If you're running for your fucking life, no one would be doing this.
And at first, the setup I thought was a little interesting. Like, why is everything being filmed? Like, the subject was pretty much that, you know, Heather, who disappeared in the first movie, it was her brother searching for him. He wanted to find her. And one of his friends was a, quote, documentary filmmaker and wanted to document him and the loss he was feeling of his sister and his journey to find her. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I can buy that. Like that, you're trying to make like some kind of weird character thing, and also like it's a sense of loss and all those things. Yep. You're setting up an actual documentary.
Yes.
And then as we start shooting, oh no, now it's just trees and rocks. there's all of that goes out the window after you set up why that we're using all these cameras.
But the funny thing is, like, the movie exists in the world of the this movie, right? Like that movie has come out, or at least like that footage is leaked. So like, if your sister was killed in the woods while making a documentary, I'm definitely not going to make a documentary in those same woods.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't go alone. And the whole thing too, if you remember the first movie, it was like, you know, they found the cabin.
Yeah.
And no one could find the cabin. We did all the searches. So you know, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I guess this movie is going to end at the cabin.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
we're going to find that
magic cabin at the end that no one else could find.
And it just, it's so strange. Like, I didn't like the cast at all. Like, was just everyone was like just. I mean, again, like that first movie, everyone is pretty realistic looking, like regular people. Right. Like this. It's like a Twix commercial could break out any minute in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everyone is just really beautiful.
CW promo.
Yeah.
And nobody's developed. And it's all the things that, like, it was weird to make the same exact movie again and then get things wrong because you're literally following it beat by beat.
Yes.
So you missed, like, a lot of stuff.
So it had a $5 million budget.
I don't know where it went. Right. There's no way I know.
That drone was expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, and it made $10 million. So it made a profit, but it's like, it feels like such a missed opportunity to me. You could have done like 20 years later or we like...
You an interesting take on like, you know, that. I mean, basically, the only thing you would have to do to be a sequel is like, all right, there's a witch in the haunted woods.
Yeah.
That's all. You could do anything you want from there. And it said the filming began 5 years ago. Well, so everyone was pretty much shooting one day a week. That's the only way I could explain that for this to be take that long. But my favorite was that Adam Wingard, the director, who I like, by the way.
That's the reason I was very excited about this.
Wingard used air horns to get jump scares out of his actors. he should have used them on the screenwriter.
Or just air horns to let them know that the camera is rolling.
Right. Like so... and it's all these crazy, and it was also like, we'll just throw the kitchen sink. Like, okay, we've got scary sounds, trees, and insects, and, you know, illness.
It's like body horror almost, which that was one of those things where, like, one of the characters, spoiler, like, gets a cut on her foot, and it kind of turns into a thing. Like,
and that's in the trailer.
And is she going to, you know, is she going to get possessed by the Blair Witch? I was like, that's super exciting. They kind of play with that. But, you know, she doesn't die as a result of that illness.
No,
you know what I mean?
It doesn't go anywhere with it. Again, it feels like we're just going to set up a bunch of stuff and then just meet at the cabin.
meet you at the cabin.
Yeah. And then we'll finish things from there. Now, Stephen was right. I mean, this movie is really the same movie, but with drones and a little bit of special effects in it. Now, even the added special effects, there weren't much. And there wasn't many. You still don't see the witch barely at all. You see her a little bit.
Which is, and that was a pretty creepy design.
Creepy. Yeah. definitely creepy design on the witch, but again, it's only a couple seconds here and there. And it also sets up these weird rules that it's hard to follow because everyone's shouting. so it's like, well, you're safe if you don't look at the witch. Wait, so I'm supposed to look at the witch? If you do look at the witch, you're safe. Then you'll die if you look at her. But wait, but I'm in the corner, so I don't watch her killing my
I'm
other
bored
friend. And that's
having
the
you tell yeah. me about this.
So it's like all these, haphazard rules that took some pieces from the first movie, made their own, and then when they all gel together, you're still like, well, wait, what's going on now with the witch
so
and time travel?
So what you're
saying,
if I'm hearing this correctly, is go watch Adam Weingart's The Guest.
Yes, that's the short answer.
Exactly.
I kind of like the idea.
And the long answer.
I like that the Blair Witch like is watching technology march on. You know what I mean? Like 20 years ago, there's these big cameras, and now she's like, oh, now there's drones. I'm going to use the drone. And it's alluded to that she's used like videotapes to lure people. You know what I mean? So like, she's got a cool, sick little VHS setup somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe she got a YouTube channel.
She's got her own dimension. You know, you can only find the cabin when she wants you to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also they play with time a little bit, like the way time passes and the way people get lost in the woods, but
they play with your time by wasting.
Yes, exactly. And but every beat is the same. There's the rocks, and then there's the you have like everything's in the trailer that was in the first movie. You know, the stick figures that they hang on the campsite, and they get lost. The GPS doesn't work. I mean, it's literally just every problem from the first movie gets updated. We lost the map. The GPS doesn't work. It's the same thing. You're using the exact same thing.
There's so many more stick figures in this movie, though. Like to be fair, like there's
$5 million budget.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna
be. $1 million a stick figure.
I'd like to do like a Navy SEAL Blair Witch and just make it be about 10 minutes and a SEAL team just goes in and just waxes this bitch. We got her. Night scopes. Did they not work? No, they worked.
Nope. GPS. It's military grade. It's military grade.
It's better. She was crazy. Some crazy lady. She has special powers. Nah. We just waxed her.
The one smart thing they did was that they filmed under the title The Woods to avoid internet comments. Smartest thing. Yeah, smartest thing. Yeah,
because surprise us with this movie because it's just you don't want to see this coming,
right?
Yeah,
all right.
No one does.
Well, speaking of scary people living out in the wild, I watched Cartel Land,
the documentary,
which got a Best Director and Special Jury Prize in the doc category at Sundance in 2015. The director was Matthew Hyman's third feature doc, and it was inspired by articles in Rolling Stone and the Wall Street Journal. So it is, it's a really well-made documentary. It's hard to watch. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Once I saw the trailer, I was like, I don't think I can watch this. It looked too disturbing.
Violence or, oh, really?
Well, it takes place. So what the director did is he found there's in Michoacan, I'm not pronouncing that correctly, a state in Mexico. There's this doctor in this small village starts a citizen uprising against the cartel because the cartel are in this one region of Mexico and many regions of Mexico. They're running wild. They can do whatever the fuck they
want. Controls everything.
They control everything. Mm-hmm. The government's corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing happening. And it's horrifying what they've done. I mean, beheaded people.
Yeah.
I mean, just raped, done whatever they wanted.
And it's always shocking, like violence.
There's no one to stop them. And it started out, the cartel was like, we're just going to make our money and we're not going to mess with the locals.
Yeah. Bullshit. Okay.
The opening scene of the movie is these cartel guys cooking meth and they've all got, they all have got masks on and the cartel guys are like, I'm just doing this because I got no other choice. And so you kind of have a little sympathy for the cartel guys initially. And then you hear all these interviews with these and it's horrifying. So this guy basically just started this militia in Mexico to fight these guys. And then he interviews this border militia guy in, I believe, Texas.
Okay.
It's Arizona. It's Arizona. He goes, what am I supposed to do? These guys come in and I call the police and it takes an hour and a half for the police to drive down from Tucson.
Yeah, because they're pretty far away.
Yeah, they're 70 miles away or whatever from the border. So it's like, and he talks about, and at first you meet him and you're like, is he some clanny type guy.
Build a wall.
Build a wall, make America great. And you hear a little bit of his story. And he's like, you know, at first I was losing work and construction after the he said he had an abusive childhood. He was a drug addict and he got sober and he was trying to get construction work and he was losing jobs to illegals and that pissed him off.
Sure.
That's when he came down and he goes, but then I came down here and I saw what the cartel was doing. They're trafficking people and drugs and it's awful what they're doing. So then he was like, I need to stop them, you know? And other people joined him. He's like, I don't care what anybody's views are. I just need help. And some of these guys, they're like, well, we can't have the races mix. So we need to, you know, yeah. Say, yeah,
boy. You're in this militia for the wrong reason, yeah, sir.
You have a gun cause you're nuts. Yeah. But
help is help.
But you see, and again, I read another interesting article a couple days ago about...
And it's cheaper. Crazy guy brings his own gun.
Yeah, he's got all his own gun gear.
Yeah.
Go got to outfit that guy.
Yeah.
And he probably will just eat bugs.
Yeah.
Get the Blair Witch in there. She could...
Yeah. She'd be great at it. Get her down by the border.
Mm-hmm.
Knock out some GPS. So then, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, there was an article in the paper and they're like, this one woman in Texas was like, you know, Trump wants to build a wall. They're just going to build bigger ladders. People just use ladders and there's tunnels. It's all kinds of crazy shit. So you're seeing this situation and what they're doing about it in these two very different ways on two other sides of the border. And, you know, there's some inspirational moments. There's some really hard, you know, they catch one of these guys that tortured people and, I mean, they're catching him and they're punching this guy.
Wow.
And it's like, I'm out of my chair. Like, I want a piece of this guy.
Yeah.
The woman that was like, oh yeah, him and his buddy just did whatever they wanted to me after they cut off my husband. You know, they cut my husband up. It's just like fucking horrifying. But it's, if you can sit through it, it's hard to watch and go knowing in. It's
Sicario was hard to watch, and that was, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
that was dramatization.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the documentary to Sicario. I mean, it's the like these are the facts, these are the people in the trenches, literally, and then you, because if you step back, you see the whole mess of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the drugs are all sold here in America. We're the problem. We're buying all the drugs. Yeah. I mean,
we're the customers.
We're the customers. And then Mexico's poor.
Yeah.
Right.
What are the options? I mean, even in poor neighborhoods in America, it's like, oh, these kids are drug dealers.
What are they going
to
do?
What else are they going to do? You know what I mean? If you don't give people an opportunity to do something else.
Now,
I mean,
does it give you an idea of like where would you even start to clean up this problem? Is it the Mexican government? Is it more troops at the American border? Like, does it even say like, well, if this happened, this would help?
I don't want to give away too much because it's just good storytelling.
Okay.
But my personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion, is the war on drugs has been going on for like almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is it should be treated as a health issue.
Yes.
Drug addiction is a health issue. It's not a criminal issue. Mm. It's not excusing a drug addict who commits an awful crime. But if we were treating this like, let's not have people get hooked. Let's treat this as a health issue. Let's legalize some of these drugs.
Yeah.
And regulate them. And that's not an easy thing. What I'm proposing is just legalize it. Everything will be better. Like, no, sir.
Yeah.
But I mean, we have a huge heroin epidemic in this country right now. And there's in rural areas, people are dying by the dozens every week.
Because it's economic depression and what else are you going to do? Let's go for it.
And it's also just easy access is, you know, and again, meth, you can just cook and make.
Right. Everyone saw Breaking Bad.
These cartel guys said this father and son from America came down and told us how to cook this.
Jeez. Wow.
So you the other thing is it's also like globalization. We need to accept, I mean, like we want to, this is my politics obviously, but conservatives are fighting globalization. They still think there's these countries and these borders. There isn't.
No.
There isn't. On any level. Not in a criminal enterprise, let alone...
The world's getting flatter and flatter.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other thing. This And it's a thing we like doing in America. We want a simple solution.
Yes.
Just do this. Mm-hmm. Build a wall.
Yes.
More troops. Mm-hmm. Lock them up.
Be tough on these guys.
Tough on crime. And yeah. It's like, man, go to any heroin or cocaine addict or meth addict and say, is this easy?
Yeah.
They're all like, I hate this. It's awful for me. I can't stop. So why are people doing all this everywhere? Why
That already sounds too complicated.
Yeah,
build a wall. Just build a wall.
Yeah, that sounds good on a bumper sticker. Yeah. And it sounds easy to do, but it's we can't blame Mexico when America is.
There's no human face to this problem.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, it's very good you didn't watch this movie. Because that's what it does. It's an excellent documentary. Whatever your political views are, whatever your opinions on this are, it does put a human face on the problem, as any good documentary does. Mm-hmm. And it shows you, we're seeing the news, but we're not seeing this.
Right. No.
And this is...
What's the purpose of documentaries?
Yeah. So it's great.
All right. It's Cartel Land.
And I saw it on a streaming service.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll get to the trailers. Another hot button political issue. Oh. Ms. Sloan, which is a dramatization of basically the lobbyists on both sides of the gun issue. Now, Jessica Chastain is in this film. I'll tell you, it looks like a really cool drama. Yeah. It's not really courtroom, but it's like an insider Washington Beltway kind of thing.
Right.
Which is fascinating because the writer was from the UK and just heavily researched it.
Oh, neat.
And it was a script that was on the blacklist that got made and like fast-tracked really quickly.
I was really excited about the rogues gallery of like character actors that are in this. That like
there's
are
a
all,
ton of characters.
That are all playing like evil shits. Like it's awesome to see Sam Waterston pop up and you know what I mean? And like Mark Strong's in there. Mm. It's neat.
It's fantastic. I mean, in the sense that like John Madden is the director. So he's done The Debt. He's done Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. He's done Shakespeare in Love. You know, he did Proof. It's
you know, and every couple of years we get like a gun issue movie. Like it's not very frequently, but every once in a while, like there was a John Cusack one a couple of years back.
Oh, The Runaway Jury.
That's the one. Yeah. So you know, occasionally we get them, but I'm actually surprised because it's such a hot button topic that we don't get more.
Yeah.
Like I'm curious to see this movie.
I think it'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, Jessica Chastain's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She could hold a movie, you know, I'll watch her do like eat an apple. Be like, sure. That's you ate that apple. Wow.
God,
you know,
so intense. How you ate that apple.
Good luck watching her in Winter's War, though.
Oh, God. On the plane, somebody was watching it next to me. I flew Virgin, and I just kind of kept looking over, and I felt like so bad for that person that they had to watch that. But then again, I was watching Batman and Robin, so it's like, so everybody loses in that scenario.
Low license fees.
God.
Okay. On an airplane, you have to
download some shit to an iPad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And then the next trailer we watched is 50 Shades Darker. Finally, how long were we going to have to wait for a 50 Shades sequel?
It looks like Eyes Wide Shut meets 50 Shades.
Oh, my favorite part of the trailer was that, like, we don't know what to do with this. Tell you what, just cut it like a thriller.
Yeah.
Cut it like a thriller. Just something, you know, there might be a ghost. There might be, you know, there might be these shady characters, shady organizations. Just make it look like a thriller.
Well, it looks like one of those, like, the internet trend a couple years ago when you would recut a movie to make it look like a different genre, like the Shining comedy kind of a thing. But it's like 50 Shades. Oh, it's spooky, scary. Like, they're just going to fuck. Like, you know, like it's going to be them fucking in different positions for an hour and a half. Yes.
In different masks.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's... but they're like, all right, well, somebody's going to get an award for the trailer.
They did.
Yeah. So.
And we do have a new version of Crazy in Love, which is exciting.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean...
You needed something for the trailer.
Yes. So. And you don't... they didn't replace that guy, right? The lead? Because they were going to, but then they didn't, which is kind of awkward. Like, because everybody didn't like him in that movie for... because he's not very good, but like they
that can't be the reason.
No. But they almost did, and then they didn't. It's just strange.
Well, it's, you know, he probably still came in the cheapest.
Yeah,
because this is the kind of movie, it has a built-in audience. It doesn't matter what it is or who is in it. The audience that is interested will go see it, and no one else is going to care.
Yeah,
whether you're a reviewer or a movie patron. It has a built-in audience, and that is who will go see it.
There's no one
that's going to go, well, you know, I thought the first one was okay. I'm really curious to see what happens next.
Yeah, just at the edge of my seat.
Okay, so we already talked about PodFest. Remember, get your tickets are on sale and available, and the improv show, of course. But let's go to DVDs and Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Out of the Shadows. I Steven, also saw this movie.
You guys both saw it.
Yeah, I did, because I'm a stupid baby man, and I had to go see my I had to see my action figures dance for me, which it's
I
not
an excuse. I took my son.
Okay, so. No, see, there you go. No, no, you're a real man. No, it's not very. It's more fun than the first one. I think.
They moved the tone. They shifted the tone. We're like, well, the first one was so stupid and dark and weird, and like, well, that's not even what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is. It's still they're still Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Let's not take that out of the title and take it the wrong way.
Yeah,
it should be goofy and it should be fun and
exactly
silly.
Yeah, and it's if you're a fan of like that show, you see all the things you want to see. They finally get the Krang alien in there, the big brain,
Rock Solid and Bebop.
Yeah,
Rocksteady and Bebop.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But yeah, Krang is in it finally.
Yeah.
You have this, it's just, again, it's a mishmash of explosions pretty much and action scenes and computer generated images. The one thing it was still missing, as the first one was still missing, was the charm.
Yes.
Of, you know, the character and the prowlers and the property and all that stuff.
And it's just, you don't get to,
Didn't waste time getting Megan Fox into a skimpy outfit, though. I think that was maybe 2 minutes into the movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she starts taking her clothes off.
To seduce Tyler Perry, of all people.
Yes. Yeah, that was exciting. A weird scene, especially for basically a children's film.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Well, actually, when I saw that movie, the woman next to me with her kids literally said, "Come on," which was just a great moment.
I can't blame her.
No, she's not wrong.
Yeah, and so this, again, still a mess. The tone moved in the right direction, a lighter tone, but we'll see what we do with the next six, see how they do.
Great.
Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. I did not see this film.
Skipped it. Yeah, I just don't.
I saw the first one, didn't like it.
Yeah.
I skipped them all.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Next one, Free State of Jones. This is the Matthew McConaughey movie.
Freeing Slaves movie.
Freeing Slaves, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we really need to put a white face in the front of that issue. A good white man that's going to save everybody. Yeah. That's how slavery was ended.
Yeah, we need to do that. And he needs to be driving a Lincoln.
Yes. Or you got to bring Brad Pitt in at the end of a horrific movie to save the slaves.
Brad's got some trouble of his own right now.
He does indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He went to the Anaconda Museum finally. Yeah. It's like, I cannot be married to this woman.
Yeah. Oh, it's my father-in-law. I can't do this anymore.
Oh, man. He's a wing bird.
Yeah.
Yep.
So on the site spotlight now, Neil saw Blair Witch, and he had a much more generous opinion of the film. He thought Adam Wingard did a pretty good job with the sequel, with what he had to work with. Wholeheartedly disagree, but sure. If you want to see a differing opinion, read Neil's review on Blair Witch.
It takes a lot for that guy to not like a movie. So. God bless him.
Yes.
It's a big heart.
He was a little more forgiving than I was, because, again, like us, he was a big Adam Wingard fan.
Yep. You have to be.
Yeah.
Because the guest is the best. Which is my t-shirt, the guest is the best.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I think CJ has a couple new reviews up there as well. You can check out the site. And you can also make some good comments, too. Like, our commenting is working. If you read a review and you want to leave your opinion, you can either go on the message boards or write a comment right on the review.
Yeah, we reposted a photo of Steele Saunders, who's probably already landed, but flew from Australia yesterday. And he posted a photo of his R2-D2 luggage.
That's great.
I wrote, "Those aren't the bags you're looking for." And... we had a lot of, there's one here, Mattis Granelta. That's not a real name. The looks you will get everywhere. We have a stormtrooper case, and people always stare and smile when they see that. Thanks for the.
What a sweet story.
It's wonderful that we're getting to meet all of you in that weird way. So, that's from the Facebook page. If you haven't already, like it and post some funny shit on there.
And premiering this week, The Magnificent Seven. Now, we originally were going to see this movie with a fan for one of the fan spoiler eps, and all three of us forgot it was PodFest this weekend. So we had to reschedule.
Little busy.
Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing the first half of this movie because it's directed by Anton Fuqua. He makes a great first half of the movie.
Great first half.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it. Storks, our friend Stephen Kramer Glickman is in this film.
Yep.
So It actually looks kind of funny. I was, as far as like some of these knockoff kids movies goes, this one looks pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, it's gonna prove that sex doesn't happen, which is important for children to learn that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Queen of Katwe, which I believe is a Disney film about, I think it's, I can't remember which country in Africa, about basically a girl that lives in poverty but learns how to play chess and becomes a competitive chess player.
Oh, is this a Lupita Nyong'o movie?
Queen of Katwe.
The Queen of Katwe.
Right.
Yeah, it's a Ugandan girl sees her world rapidly change after being introduced to the game of chess. Directed by Mira Nair.
Oh, cool.
Who did?
It looks good.
Yeah, she's done some Bollywood films. It looks like, and she did Monsoon Wedding, New York, I Love You, The Namesake, Salaam Bombay.
You know what? It feels like it'll evoke that same feeling as like a John Hamm baseball movie. it's designed to make you smile.
And, feel warm,
reaffirm belief in humanity.
Yeah,
there needs to be more John Hamm baseball movies.
Really, there should be one every summer. John Hamm.
They would do well.
A ragtag group of kids from fill in the blank.
Yes,
Sri Lanka, Ecuador, wherever, and they come to the major leagues.
So, well, that is our show, and we will see you hopefully at LA Podfest this weekend. Remember to do the live stream. The Comedy Film Nerds show this weekend will feature Will Wheaton from Star Trek Next Generation and also Cecil Baldwin from Welcome to Night Vale. And I got to tell you guys, the Welcome to Night Vale show on Friday night is going to be amazing. They're doing their entire play, The Librarian, which is one of the most famous ones.
Oh, cool.
About a librarian escapes and all the horror that it ensues. Because in the world of Night Vale, the librarians are horrible monsters. So,
which is actually.
Yeah, and they're going to do the whole thing, and they will not be releasing it as a podcast. You can only see it through the pay-per-view and the live stream.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, so there's Earbud screening that Friday night at 7. Criminal is on, Point versus Point, Long Shot, Kill Tony, Guest DJ Project. That'll be a cool Road Stories, Murray Valeriano on Friday. And then Saturday is like our show at 4, Tofop, a million other great shows, all the panels. My Favorite Murder is Saturday. So 3-day passes are We ran out of Saturday passes, right? So there's a capacity issue. So you can still go to Saturday if you buy a 3-day pass.
Yes.
And there's Friday passes and Sunday passes. We're thinking about maybe moving some tickets from 3-day into Saturday pass, but the 3-day passes are going well. They're going fast, and we get a lot of walk-up business. Last year, we were sold out by Saturday.
So definitely keep checking the website for availability.
I thought you were going to say, we're moving into Monday. Fuck it. We're just going to keep going.
That just gave me a heart attack. No, Monday, I will be surfing. That's what I will be doing Monday. But yeah, guys, come out to the Hollywood Improv on September 22nd, that Thursday, and then come to the Sofitel this weekend. If you don't already have your tickets, please get them. Watch the live stream if you can't make it to L.A., and the live stream is available for 30 days. So it's a month of content.
Yep.
And, you know, check out some shows you've never heard before.
That's
try
awesome.
Some new stuff. Mm-hmm. Steven, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me at Steven Sadek. My name is garbage. So it's STEPHENSAJDAK. Or you can check out WHMPodcast.com. Check out our Patreon, which we're pumping, where we just launched a brand new Star Trek show called The Nexus, where we do an original series episode and a TNG episode and kind of mishmash and go through it, kind of like a watch party kind of a thing. So yeah, WHMPodcast.com and at WHMPodcast on Twitter.
We hate movies, guys.
We hate movies.
Check it out. What do we got going on? I'm headlining the Hollywood Improv, I believe. October 6th, I believe. That is, let me make sure I got that correct. No, excuse me. October 7th. It's a Friday night. I'm doing the Hollywood Improv. So if you're in LA, check that out. We will be at the Cluj Comedy Film Fest, October 20th through the 24th.
In Romania.
In Romania. Wow. So you can get a Romanian Molly. make me a Romanian Molly. And we'll be...
Napa Valley.
Napa Valley. Too. So Napa Valley just released the screening date. So Earbuds is going to screen at various different theaters and little towns around there in Napa Valley on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th of November. We'll release the actual days and or the actual times and theater names. Right. But if you go to the Napa Valley website, Napa Valley Film Fest website, you can see that there. And I'll be up there the whole time.
And I'll probably be up there for the weekend shows, but then the movie will be released about a week or two after, yep. And then Kickstarter backers, you'll get it earlier.
Cool.
You'll get it a little bit earlier, and then it'll be for sale.
Yes.
And if the DVD's available then, that we don't know, but the downloads for
sure. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. I already got all the conversions. They're actually in a folder and ready to go. So
boom.
You will be getting it soon. Thank you again for your patience.
We would have put it on sooner if we didn't already have commitments to these film festivals.
Yes. Yeah, that's true, actually. It's actually some of the rules where you're not allowed to until you play these festivals. So
that would be on sale this week.
So there's a couple, 90% of it has been on our end, the delays, but this is the 10% that wasn't.
So highlight that for sure. Yes. The fucking film festival,
these last
man.
2 months. Don't blame us. But yeah, so that'll be, so check it out. And the version you'll see at PodFest, it'll be in one of the smaller rooms, but it's the finished version. It's slightly different than last year, about 5 minutes shorter. But it's all there. So check it out. Thank you guys for supporting. We will see you at PodFest. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini.
I've been Steven Zajac.
Oh, hold on. Let's start that over. We talked over each other. Go ahead. Wait.
Thanks, our guest.
Steven Zajac.
Yeah, I can't pronounce his last name. That's why I pointed at him.
That's what whenever somebody points at me, I know that they don't know how to say my name.
And, you know, we don't have time to edit this week.
No, so. This episode is going up as is.
Warts and all.
Yes.
So my name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Air conditioning.